The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jenna Jacoby is presented by Allstate. Get protected from mayhem this year when you switch and save with Allstate.
Hey, what's going on? This is Kevin Hart. Right now, you're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people!
We have so much sound from NBA Media Day coming up. I can't wait to get to that. But very first, briefly, we will discuss that boring Monday Night Football last night. Jalen predicted it was going to be boring. It was boring. Eventually, the Cowboys won because someone had to, and they kept getting pressure on Daniel Jones. CeeDee Lamb played pretty well after dropping one early. What do you think about Monday Night Boredom?
Well articulated how you said that the Cowboys won because somebody had to. And I agree with you, but I want to make sure I acknowledge something. The backup quarterback is usually the most popular person in town. We're going to put an exclamation point on that for Dallas for the rest of the season. Because now we're going to be talking about, oh, is Dak now going to rush to get back? Because Cooper Rush is 2-0 and Jerry Jones is speaking in the microphones about how he hopes that there's going to be a QB battle if Rush continues to win. And so now guess what else happens? When Dak makes a mistake, Jacoby, the entire world going to actually look to the sideline and wonder, should they put Cooper Rush in? Oh, boy.
I really
thought
once...
This saga in Dallas just...
I thought once Dak went down that maybe the Cowboys would just be bad and we could stop talking about them. But now there's quarterback drama. They're winning games. They're on top of the East. We're being held hostage by this team for another season. So much so that I want to move on.
Correct.
Because we have so much to discuss about the NBA Media Day started, which is sort of the official start of the season. There is so much drama over the offseason, but we didn't hear much from the players until yesterday. We start in Los Angeles with the Lakers, who, after a very disappointing campaign last year, discussed the upcoming season.
No, there's definitely a chip on my shoulder, a chip on our shoulder. And, you know, just wearing this uniform is unacceptable. It's just unacceptable not to be able to compete for a championship.
I know what I'm capable of doing and what my process is in the summer to get better and make sure that I am ready to go for some by this regular season. So, like I said, we're going to do the steps to do that. But for me, I'm coming in with that mindset to dominate.
Yeah. Hall of Famer Russell Westbrook, Hall of Famer LeBron James, Hall of Famer Anthony Davis, a bunch of really good role players. But they're underdogs, Jalen Rose. There's a chip on their shoulder.
How about the fact that, of course, they're going to embrace the underdog role because that represents the opposite of what it is to be a favorite. And that they're not and won't be. And the one thing I appreciate, though, is LeBron got his hair back. You know, we just showed the ball 5 minutes ago, right? I'm just glad he got his hair back for the season. I literally just thought about that when we just saw him. And here's the beauty of the greatness that is LeBron James. I'm looking forward to him climbing and eclipsing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the NBA's all-time leading scorer. I'm looking forward to him ascending on the all-time assist list. He's going to perform at an all-NBA level. Mm-hmm. As much as we love seeing LeBron playing at Rucker and playing that Jay crossover in Seattle, you know what he rather had been doing? Playing in the NBA Finals and resting those weeks.
Absolutely.
And so he's going to be enthusiastic about this season. And as I saw Anthony Davis, it made me think of something. We just released an NBA top 12 players list And Anthony Davis wasn't on there.
Nope.
Now, he's a top 10 talent, no doubt.
When healthy.
But the thing that keeps him off of that list is when healthy. And how about the fact that he was literally playing 2K23 with himself and got injured at the beginning of the game.
And he got hurt. I can't make this up. Very quickly, LeBron played at the Drew League, not the Rucker, but we have so much more to get to. We spent all summer long, talking about Kevin Durant and his trade request and Kyrie and where he was going to get traded and how those dominoes were going to fall. But guess what? Kevin Durant didn't get traded. He talked about it.
I mean, I know I'm that good that you're just not going to give me away. So that's one thing I did appreciate about Sean and Jode is like, yeah, you're too great for us to give you away. Just that easy, that simple. So I get that. I know who I am.
It sounds real familiar, Jalen Rose. It sounds real familiar.
And seeing the players back at Media Day, Jacoby, it just reminds me of so many, you know, great opportunities I had to participate. And it reminds me also like the first day of school, because you haven't seen these guys for a long time. LeBron didn't make the playoffs. KD didn't win a game in the playoffs. The only team that didn't win a game was the Nets. So KD came back. He got a fresh cut at Media Day, too. Looking good, KD. But here's what I've been saying the entire time, and KD must watch the show. You can't trade Kevin Durant. You just can't do it. Like, I don't care what the rankings say. He's one of the top two or three best players in the league. If you're going to trade him, the amount in return that the other team is going to acquire, if you look at Rudy Gobert, if you look at Paul George, some of the recent deals, it just would be something so astronomical that it wouldn't make sense for either side. Plus, he still has four basketball seasons remaining on his contract. So I heard KD just needed a pat on the back, just needed a little ego boost. The Warriors won it without him. This team didn't trade him, even though he asked for one. Kyrie's going to be back. Hopefully Ben Simmons is healthy. He just needed them to say, hey, man, we know we got swept, but you still great. Yeah, we still believe in you. We're not going to give up on you. That's what he needed to hear. You got to do that for your great players every now and then.
Sean Marks, your former teammate, was like, listen, we called Milwaukee and asked for Giannis. They said no. We called Golden State, asked for Steph Curry. They said no. And we called Los Angeles and asked for Kawhi and Paul George. They said no. And then we called the other LA team and asked for LeBron and AD, and they said no. So we don't have a deal. So look forward to you playing with your mate, Kyrie Irving, who also spoke at Media Day, had some very interesting comments. Let's listen to Kyrie.
I gave up 4 years, 100-something million, deciding to be unvaccinated, and that was the decision. It was contract, get vaccinated or be unvaccinated, and there's a level of uncertainty of your future, whether you're going to be in this league, whether you're going to be on this team. So I had to deal with that real life circumstance of losing my job for this decision.
Well, everyone has their own perspective on the events, and Sean Marks sort of refuted that a little bit and said it was not an ultimatum, but that was when the negotiation stalled. What do you think about Kyrie's stance?
I just believe when you work in corporate America, there's certain sacrifices you have to do in order to feed your family. Fortunately for him, he's been in the league a long enough period of time where he didn't have to compromise what he felt to earn his check. And as we look in hindsight, we both know how this works. What he's describing is the other contracts beyond the Nets, possibly like his shoe deal that didn't get renewed. Those are the numbers he's talking about. Or maybe appearances and things of that nature weren't as plentiful when he decided not to get vaccinated. But a lot of that is highlighted based on where he plays. Not necessarily about whether he was vaccinated or not. If he would have played in another city, like many other NBA players who aren't vaccinated, he wouldn't have been forced to miss half of the home games. But since he decided not to get vaccinated and he plays in New York City, that ultimately ended up being the consequence that led to dominoes of James Harden being unhappy and eventually being traded. when KD goes down with injury, that forces you to have a lower seed. Now when you have a lower seed, you play against a team like the Boston Celtics in the first round, you can't recover from that. And so now, hopefully he's healthy, they're healthy, we can spin the clock forward, and I believe right now, the Brooklyn Nets are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Right now, they're there. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals. And so it's gonna be interesting to see how this plays out moving forward, but they're gonna be as motivated as any team based on how last season went.
When you look at the roster, the starting five and the rotation players for every single team, every one of the 30 teams before the season, you're like, that's a pretty good team. And I could see them, you know, with some potential. And RJ Barrett feels the same about the other team in New York, the New York Knickerbockers.
This year we're coming in even more experienced, even more hungry. We have a lot of guys that have something to prove, you know, myself included. I got everything to prove, you know. So we're really coming with that mindset and definitely think we're going to shock the world.
We're going to shock the world. We're going to shock the world. Where have I heard that before, Jalen? Where have I heard that before?
We gonna shock the world, I told y'all. And let me talk about great mental manipulation. Let me quote the great American philosopher and genius, Coach Steve Fisher. He told the Fab Five, if y'all beat Temple, Bill Cosby promised that y'all would be on the Cosby Show. That was the number one show in the world. And we believed it. And we won the game in the locker room. We like, Cosby, Cosby, Cosby. And then he told us that that wasn't true. You know what I mean?
I never saw you on the Cosby Show.
So for RJ Barrett, it's the same thing for RJ Barrett. They feel like they want to shock the world, right? But for you, Die Easy Knicks fan, I have to ask you, what does shocking the world mean
500.
For
500.
The Knicks?
500. Okay, okay. Shock the world. Okay, be over one game over 500. That's it. That is it. 42 wins, 40 losses. World shocked. Because like we always say, success is a function of realistic expectations. And when you go through these teams, you see the Lakers sort of bringing down expectations. We're underdog. The Nets sort of talking about the past, not the future, because they have high expectations. And the Knicks, unfortunately, are raising them. But you know what? We have very low expectations. They've not won a championship literally since I have been born, and I am old. Look at these gray hairs. Of course, there were some very serious issues that were addressed yesterday at Media Day with the Boston Celtics in particular. They just came from the finals just a couple months ago, and now their future is uncertain. They discussed, we'll discuss right after this. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here at the Seaport, New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, shocking news from Boston. Ime Udoka has been suspended for the season. We all know why. We have discussed it at length. However, we have not heard from the players until yesterday. Here's what the Celtic stars had to say.
That's a lot going on. Some we could control, some we couldn't. So the best we could say is just to move on, I guess. Initial reactions, like you said, I was a little confused, you know, but nobody really has any of the information. So it's kind of difficult to really make a comment on, you know, how things were supposed to go, how the process went or anything. So the best thing we can do is put our best foot forward.
Jalen, we've discussed the violations of team guidelines. We've discussed the suspension, but we haven't discussed sort of the player's mindset. So take us behind the mind of the stars, the Jason Tatums and the Jaylen Browns, who are fresh off the finals and now have to face a new season with a new head coach after so much success under Udoka.
You know what I saw from namesake right there, Jacoby? I saw anger, hurt, pain, confusion, and frankly, an acknowledgement psychologically that we just lost the coach that took us to the NBA Finals, one of the best ascending young minds in the game, that, as I mentioned to you, the difference to me between the Nets season on the sideline and the Celtics, to me, was who they chose to hire as the coach. And Ime, when he came in for Brad, was able to push the right buttons with Tatum and Brown, help elevate Marcus Smart to be Defensive Player of the Year. Al Horford played quality minutes. He pushed all of the right buttons. And so you figure with that core so young, and this coach who played in the league, played overseas, is a young veteran in a lot of ways as an assistant, who earned this opportunity, seized the opportunity, and then maximized the opportunity. Now you can't be as good this year, Jacoby. You're just not gonna be as good. Now, does that mean they don't play like they played from January 1st on record-wise? Does it mean they probably get off to a better start this year? I know one thing. I don't believe it now means they make it to the finals again. So if they don't make it to the finals again, that means they took a step back, and this situation was a lead catalyst for that, and his coach being putting himself in position to be suspended doesn't only clearly affect him, now because a domino effect for the players who wanted to build on what they accomplished last year. It's going to be a lot more difficult without Ime Udoka on the sideline.
It has to be frustrating if you're the players. It has to be disappointing if you're the players. And it has to be difficult to sort of face this Eastern Conference title defense season without your leader on the sideline, Ime Udoka. I'm glad you mentioned the difference between the Nets and the Celtics, because the previous season, Ime Udoka was a coach for those very Nets. The other big news from the offseason was the investigation into Suns and Mercury owner Robert Sarver. He has announced, after the investigation was released, that he's in the process of selling the team. Of course, the Suns have some stars themselves, and they gave their reaction to that yesterday on Media Day.
You know, it's tough for me because, you know, that's not the Robert Sarver that I know. It's not the Robert Sarver that welcomed me to Phoenix with open arms. But at the same time, I'm not, you know, insensitive to everybody that's involved in the situation.
Thoughts and prayers to all those involved, and, you know, you try to control what you can control, and, you know, I can't speak for all the players and everything like that, but it was tough to read, and it was disturbing.
So, Jalen, we've discussed Sarver on and off wax for years now, and my question for you is there a part of this as a player that's relieving, that you're happy that it ended up going this direction?
Yes, because had this decision not been made, whether it was Sarver on his own, whether he was pressured by Adam Silver, whether he was pressured by the other owners, whether he realized the domino effect it was gonna have amongst NBA players who are 70-75% black in this league. And also the other people that he offended. It's a laundry list of people, including women and a professional environment behavior. There's so many things. But as a player, you're happy that it happens now. So now you can move on with your season, because last year they were the most disappointing team in the playoffs. And that includes the Nets. The Phoenix Suns were the most disappointing team in the playoffs. Now, it was great to see Luka ascend and have his team make it to the conference finals, a la Trae Young the year before with the Hawks. And Jalen Brunson played the way he played and played them into a big deal. But for the Suns to make it to the finals, play the way they played the regular season, and get bounced like that in the playoffs, wow. So now you don't have to worry about the ownership thing. You get a chance to, DeAndre Ayton is now under contract, so you can move forward with one of the best coaches in the league, Monty Williams. Chris Paul wants to atone for how poorly he played in the playoffs last year and show that he can still ball at an elite level. And Devin Booker is an ascending superstar. So they're positioned properly. So it's great that they don't have this distraction of what might happen with Robert Sarver. So now they can go out and have a great season. Look for the Suns to have a great year. We're talking so much about the West, and because of how they lost, they're not getting mentioned. The Phoenix Suns are going to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference.
We have so much more to get to from Media Day, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after this very short break. Thank you for watching J&J on TV, but don't forget, subscribe and listen to the podcast where you get the exclusive podcast content. They let us talk about the things we can't talk about on television. Jalen Rose, one thing we talk about every single day is the fact that Brittany Griner is still detained in Russia, and her former college coach, Kim Mulkey from Baylor, spoke about it or kind of didn't.
How would you describe that process of putting that collective group together? And then, too, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Brittany Griner's situation. And I don't think I've seen anything from you on that. And you won't.
I'll answer the first one for you.
What?
And you won't. Like, a person in position of leadership, like head coach, I would never want to play for somebody like that. That'll turn their back on me regardless of what happened in my life. I hope all recruits are watching that soundbite in my Ice Cube voice. Here's what they think about you. Jeez, that's so rude and disrespectful. You wish the best for a complete stranger. You wish the best for your fellow man or woman or child, not just dismiss them. Like I lost respect for her because of that.
Jalen, James Harden spoke at Media Day, and he had something really interesting to say.
This summer was huge for me in that aspect of making sure, you know, the heel runs and the weightlifting was were important, and then adding the skill on the court as well. 100 pounds. Tweet that.
Obviously, he's joking about losing 100 pounds because he didn't have 100 pounds to lose, but he did look skinnier. So he is on our list, the best shape of my life list. But if you look at the bottom there, still on our radar is Zion, and Zion spoke at Media Day as well. Here's what Zion had to say.
I feel like I'm in my best right now. I feel like I'm moving faster, jumping higher. I feel great.
He's on the list, Jalen Rose. On the list officially.
Now we gotta see if Jalen and Jacoby can get on that list by tomorrow's show. Appreciate the love.
We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Now, there's tons of NBA Media Day stuff to get to. There's a lot of topics to discuss, but Jalen did something that's rare. He prepared for the podcast exclusive. I sat down in my chair. He looked at me, gave me a very mischievous smile, demanded a pen, and wrote something down that he wanted to discuss in the podcast exclusive. Now, I guessed what it is, and I wrote it down. So I'm going to put my pen down so I'm not cheating. Here's the paper right here. So what is it that you're so excited to discuss in the podcast? Oh, you forgot. I can tell from your face you forgot.
Good day. Good day, podcast listeners. Happy Tuesday. Just took a red eye to Atlanta. Happily here, landed, got a fresh cut by Hawk.
Stall tactic.
Doing Jalen and Jacoby with my handsome brother, David.
No idea.
I'm interviewing Sanaa Lathan this afternoon.
Oh, I knew you got cut for some reason. Not for me. Not for our television watchers. No, for Sanaa Lathan. Okay.
Here's what I noticed when I sat down. I love that round neck shirt you got with that zip up. And the color scheme that you have with your fresh cut, you reminded me of a version of the Real Slim Shady.
The Real Slim Shady. So I wrote down my jacket. I guessed my jacket, so I was close.
You was close. That was a part of it, no doubt.
So for the podcast listeners, I've got like a burnt orange jacket on. I look like a tree in New England in October. You know what I mean? It's just a very fall appropriate. Very fall appropriate.
Yes.
I've been getting a lot of comments about it.
I like it.
It's a loud color. You know, I like to wear more muted colors. Getting a lot of Jeff Saturday was very excited about it. You know what I mean? I walk past the guy that I walk past every day that does the workouts, you know, the boxing guys that try to get me to go in there. I'm like, that looks like too much work for me. Sorry. And he said, you the flyest actor at ESPN. And I was like, okay, I'll take the compliment, but we're not actors. Although you may believe otherwise. You know. And I was like, that's just probably because you haven't seen Jalen in a while.
You're fresh.
One of the things I wanted to recognize on the podcast is another player who wears this color. Myles Garrett was involved in a pretty horrific car wreck. Porsche, 3 p.m., flipped over multiple times. There's a female passenger in there as well. They made it very clear that they brought to the hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. However, looking at the car, I'm sure there were injuries sustained, and we wish them the best in their recoveries. And that's just really, really sad.
No doubt.
But Jalen, I've got a soft mover, boss move that I did not tell the production staff about because I knew they wouldn't put it on the television show. And I know a good soft mover boss move when it's like, sometimes it's like Drake bought a ring for all of his rec league team because they won the championship. Like, we put that as soft mover boss move, but it's a boss move. Like, it's not even a debate.
Correct.
I am on the fence on this one. I'm on the fence on this one. I saw a video of the Miami tailgate. A lot of focus on this Miami Bills game, especially the Miami Bills tailgate, because of the way that the Bills Mafia can travel. They had a playoff game in Miami. They stopped selling folding tables in Miami and all of Southern Florida. Jalen Rose, there was a tailgate that involved a tent, beverages, adult entertainers, dancing. No nudity, no laws were broken, but you know, there's some suggestive movements, some dollar bills being thrown around. Soft move or boss move? Strippers at the tailgate.
Ultimate boss move. Let me just say this.
Ultimate boss move.
Well, if you think about it, like, you're creating a festive atmosphere.
Agreed.
And I hate to break it to everybody out there, but there are more adult entertainment establishments where you lived than colleges.
So, Mr. Rose, let me just counter this for a second. It's a parking lot outside of a football stadium, and there's children there. If I'm there with Quincy and Margo and Chloe, right? Like, I took everybody to a Yankee game. Shout out to Glenn Kaplan. He actually got me the tickets. And people are yelling things very vulgar right around us. You know what I mean? And if I'm walking through a parking lot with Margo and Chloe, they like to hold my hands, one on each side. It's great. Imagine we're walking past this tailgate in this public space, and they see that. These soon-to-be 7-year-old girls. Is that boss move?
That's fair. And you challenged me as a man, as a father, as an uncle, as a role model. But you said something that was really key that can't be ignored. Inside of a tent.
It was under a roof, but there was just tent poles, very visible. You know what I mean? You know, like that tailgate setup. There's no door to the tent. It's on display. It's on display.
Okay. Well, here's what I'll say. I'm still going to call it a boss move because it's a form of entertainment, and you can look down at your phone, or you can look at the television, or you can listen to the radio, or you can watch any movie, any cartoon. At some point, there's always gonna be things as a parent, you're like, oh my God, I didn't want my son or daughter to see or hear that.
Mm.
Right?
People listening to this podcast.
And correct. Right? And when you press WWW, you can go anywhere at any time. So in theory, that smart device that your son or daughter has, they are more exposed to anything there. Now, to physically see it, for me, it borders on one thing. What are they wearing?
It's like a thong. That, I'm gonna say like a thong bathing suit kind of a vibe, like a thong bathing suit, which you can see at the beach, but it's more the behaviors than it is the actual look.
Correct. Well, think about this. I love the beach. Do you love the beach?
The beach? Do I love the beach?
Yeah.
I love the beach. I love a pool too.
How
you know what I mean?
Do you love the beach? Yeah.
Love the beach.
Let's just do this exercise for all of our podcast listeners. Name some things in life that you love more than being on the beach.
Money. Basketball with my friends.
Very small list.
Yeah, like I love the beach.
You went to the dignitaries. When you said money, you went right to the top of the dignitaries. You know what I mean? In your life. And I say that because when you go to the beach, people are wearing shorts and bikinis. That's what they're wearing.
So let me ask you this. I always think about this. I'm glad you brought this up because I always think about this. If I put a bathing suit on right now in this studio and walked outside, HR would handcuff me and drag me out, right? But if I'm 2 miles east of here, no one bats an eyelash. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if you see women in bikinis, thong bikinis on the beach, like all the time. However, if you ride the subway train, problems.
How about this? In Times Square, there's a naked cowboy. If you're walking down with Chloe and Margo and you see the naked cowboy, you have now a choice, Dad, to A, keep walking, or B, go in a different direction.
He's wearing tighty whities
at the tailgate.
He's wearing tighty whities, but
my point is, you have the same choice. It's public. And let me tell you something, it's actually sad. But it was a reality check for me. I was walking downtown LA 4 days ago. And if you've ever been to downtown LA, you just said it, Jacoby. You at the Staples Center at LAPC, that's one thing. But you could go 3 or 4 blocks in either direction, and it looks like a third world country.
It's absolutely wild. The Skid Row area of downtown LA is shocking when you experience it for the first time. It is a large, thousands full-on community of depraved homeless people that is just 3 blocks away from like a Macy's.
Correct. And I'm walking down the street and I see a gentleman clearly struggling, laying on the ground, virtually naked, and you know, you can tell that he has a lot of challenges happening, you know, psychologically and going on with his life. And you know, what I said to myself is, when he was in elementary, middle school, and high school, like, this clearly ain't how he wanted his life to turn out. So right now, he's not asking to be laying on the ground in 90-degree weather in broad daylight, alone. And it made me think, at some point in his life, I guess he had parents, may have had siblings, may have had cousins, relatives, co-workers, of teachers, coaches, like whatever. It just made me think of all of the people that have influenced me in my life, right? And to not take them for granted. But then it also reminded me of how when you're at your worst or at your lowest, he was alone.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And when are we alone? When we come into this world and when we go out of this world. And so what I'll say to you as we get back to the topic is, y'all are out in public. And yes, it's in theory the circumference of a sporting event. But when you're out, like being on the subway, you can't control what you might see happening in public. So like as a parent, as a guardian, as a nurturer, those now become the teaching moments. So I ask you, Dad, because I need to now hear from you if you have time. Tell me what was up with my nephew Q this morning. And if you were walking with the girls towards a sporting event and you saw dancers happening, how would you explain that?
Okay, well, I've got the solve for the Miami tailgate problem, all right? Here's what it is. Two words, booty shorts. Just don't have the cheeks out. Just booty shorts. You can still throw the money. You can still do all the dances. Just, you can have this little short, little like yoga shorts. You know what I mean? That's all I need. Then I'm good.
It's all about what they're wearing.
Then I'm good. Correct. Right? So there's the solve for that one. All right? You can just put some booty shorts on. You still look good. Everyone's still going to have just as much fun. And secondly, my wife is out of town. Jewish holiday. Shout out to all the Jewish listeners. Shout out to all the Jewish people on the staff. Shout out to all the Jewish people in the world. Enjoy your holiday. Means no school in New York City. So I got to take the kids to camp. And that means got to do the girls' hair. Got to get everybody in clothes. Get everybody in socks. Lunches.
Great job, Dad.
Let me tell you something, though. I'm struggling through it, yelling at people. You know what I mean? We're late. I'm pushing people out the door. You know what I mean? Like, I'm half doing their hair. They're hurting their head with the brush. And I'm in the middle of doing all this. I'm like, this is what my wife does every day. My wife does this every day. Every day my wife does this, Monday through Friday. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting here struggling, complaining, being like, I can't believe she's out of town. And like, because I got a conference call while she does all this. You know what I mean? So I miss it pretty much every day. So it was like straight up, I was complaining, talking about how hard it is. I was like, this is just a regular morning for my wife. So big shout out to her and all the moms that do the majority of the work around the house. And then Quincy and me got issues lately. Issues. And we're driving in the car because I'm taking them to the camp. I can't tell them what camp they're going to because they complain. So I tell them, no. I'm just like, mystery camp. Mystery camp. Don't worry about it. And in the car, he starts being really critical of everything that Chloe says. Chloe, that's dumb. Chloe, you always say the dumbest things. She's really critical. He's in a bad mood, being really critical to his sisters. I'm just like, yo, your vibes are off, like being negative. And then they start playing with something, and he grabs her hand very violently and moves it extremely violently. And like, the physical stuff to me is very triggering. You know what I mean? Like, you're the big brother. You're much older. You could hurt her. And like, he didn't like punch her in the face, but it was violent. So I got really mad. Screamed, even though I'm trying not to yell at my kids as much as I do. Pulled the car over, opened his door and told him to get out. I swear to God, he was scared. He was like, is he gonna leave me on the sidewalk and pull away? And I pulled him and I told him not to scream and not to be so violent towards your sisters. You're supposed to protect them. You're the big brother, yada, yada, yada. He gets mad at me saying, you promised you wouldn't yell at me. I'm like, no, I said I would try to yell at you less, but when you start getting violent with your sisters, that's when you're gonna get yelled at. We're driving away.
Correct.
He says that for Christmas, he might not wish for a PC. He might wish to switch families, which honestly is kind of funny. You know what I mean? I can't lie. There's a part of me laughed on the inside, but I'm still trying to be mad.
You can be mean if you're funny. That's funny.
Like, that is kind of funny. Like, ask, like, right, Santa? I'd be like, yo, can you just get me a new dad? That's kind of funny. And
you know what else he did, by the way, as you continue the story, he just got his Christmas gift. Please continue.
He did not get his Christmas gift yet. That comes at Christmas. And then, like, and I'm sure other parents or even just people in any relationship, like, I yelled so loud my throat's kind of sore. You know what I mean? And like 45 seconds later, I'm like, oh, I messed up. I can't believe I just screamed at my son. He's so cute. He's so young. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I felt guilty about it. But I didn't like show him that really. I just let it simmer for like two or three minutes, and then we just started talking about whatever and getting back together. But so the question I have for you, Uncle Jalen, as someone with older kids, are how can I discipline my kids without yelling at them and sort of like keep it cooler? When you see something like that, I just react. And should I feel guilty about it when I do yell at them?
Yes, you should feel guilty because you love them and you're nurturing them and you're leading them and you're teaching them and you're wearing so many hats. and then you still see your precious son and your beautiful daughters, and of course you're gonna feel bad. Anytime they're sad, you're gonna feel bad, even if they did something that pissed you off. Mm-hmm. So yes. Now, I applaud how you handled this. Because I'm gonna tell you, because parenting has changed over the years. Let me just say, I'm the youngest, okay? He's the oldest. So let's do the reverse. Let's reverse fields for a second. Usually when the oldest is acting disrespectful towards the younger kids, between the mother and on the father, he gonna get checked.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
And he was just being a jerk. It's like everything that came out of the girl's mouth, he was just like shutting it down and being mean about it for no reason.
Correct.
No reason.
Correct. Correct. For no reason. All they got to do is say, and he exactly. So what I applaud is you didn't physically do anything to him. That took a lot of restraint.
Wanted to.
That took a lot of restraint.
Don't judge me on what I think about doing. Judge me on what I do.
Correct. And I would say this, respectfully, you wouldn't be the first parent to physically discipline their child in the history of the United States of America. Now, that discipline method has changed a lot over the decades. When mm-hmm. I was young, Grammy used to have a gray strap that was rubber with handles, and that used to be on the end of the door. You get out of line, you got whacked. Everybody knew the rules. And physical discipline of your kids has started to decimate over the decades, talking about just, you know, being able to nurture them and talk to them and compromise with them in order to get them to behave better. I like also how you talk to him where they couldn't hear it. That's what I mean. You had the conversation with him about you're a big brother, you're a leader, you're a mentor, you can't be disrespecting them. And also you're a man, like you can't be behaving a certain way towards any women, especially your sisters. When he said the trade the family line in, I know you laughed on the inside.
On the inside, because he didn't just say I want to switch families. He was like, instead of asking for a PC from Santa Claus, I'm gonna ask to switch families.
The thing I want the most.
That's funny.
Yeah, the thing
like he
gonna
write Santa Claus a note. Like he gonna write Santa Claus a note and be like, don't. You know what I want this year? I just want you to just get me out of this family. That's hilarious.
let me just say one thing on that.
Let me say one thing before we move on, because I like to look in the mirror and be like, how could I have handled this differently? Right. I think that's very important in all aspects of life. The same way I'm like, you're older than them, you're more mature than them, you can't behave this way towards them. I could take that lesson myself. He is 9 years old. You know what I mean? He's not going to bat 1,000. I'm 44 years old. I'm older than him. I'm more mature than him. So maybe I shouldn't react to something that triggers me, like a physical assault to his daughter, albeit very light, with a full throat scream and like the crazy eyes dad mean dad move. You know what I mean?
Well, I gotta come to your defense a little bit. So how do you behave when you're upset with your kids? You're allowed to express yourself really loudly when you're mad.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, because here's the other thing we can't do. It's a cold world out here, man. And that Rocky quote rings in my ears. It's a mean and nasty place. The world will beat you to your knees and keep you there if you let it. It ain't how hard you hit, it's how hard you can get hit and keep on coming. Like, that's real. And you don't want to coddle him or them too much, because then it'll be a shock when they hit the real world too. Like, oh my God, like what just happened? And so I applaud you, Dad. You were doing a lot, from doing hairs to carpooling to navigating disagreements, drop off times, pick up times. You made our call this morning. You made the show today. And you look like the real Slim Shady. You know what I'm saying? You're one of the versions.
Two other things I'm going to bring up about this before we get back to sports. I was just trying to get this dude to put socks on. He looks at me, he's just like, no. He's just like, I'm not doing it, Dad. And I'm thinking in my back,
not going to be able to do it.
I'm not asking you to climb Mount Everest, my guy. I'm not asking you to do 1,000 push-ups. You know what I mean? At some point, you're going to have to put socks on. You know what I mean? Like, you got to leave the house. It's just like, why? Like, how are you going to, like, of all the things, the socks thing. Another thing he said after I yelled at him, he goes, you promised you would never yell at me. You broke your promise. Your word means nothing. And then I was just like, oh my God, I'm about to yell at you again. Like, no one ever promised I wouldn't yell at you. No one ever promised that. I said I would try to yell at you less. We're not promising that.
Yeah,
that's like me promising. I'm never gonna breathe.
No. But here's what I want to say. I don't know if it's because of my athletic history, or my brother was in the military, or just like my family dynamics. But one of the things I like for punishment is doing something physical. So for me, if I had a 7-year-old in today's climate and I was you, I think I would have been navigating towards like discipline is like X amount of push-ups, X amount of sit-ups, X amount of jumping jacks or whatever. You know what I mean? Or something that's good for them, like you got to drink this whole bottle of water. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Quincy's the laziest kid in the world.
I'm into that kind of stuff. I'm into that kind of stuff in 2022. Things that'll help make them better in other aspects of their life, but also seem like punishment, like eating vegetables.
Well, I'm not going to win any parenting awards, but whatever. We worked it out.
No perfect parents.
And also, like, you're mad, you feel guilty, and he's sad, and he's not talking to you, and you're both really mad. 3 minutes later, you're back to doing whatever you're doing before. You know what I mean? There's no lasting scars.
Yeah. And I want to quote my late beloved mother, Jeannie Cassandra Rose, who not only introduced and changed the world by inventing and creating the name Jalen, she also says something that you just reminded me of that rings in my ears when people call themselves not speaking to me. And I quote, if you can't talk to me, then you can't ask me for nothing.
I love it. I'm gonna definitely use that.
So in other words, Q, if you're not talking to Dad, then you can't ask for nothing.
That's a good point. You know, that's a great point.
Can't ask for that. So at some point, he got a thought of ice and start thinking about this. Like, yeah. I'm going to want to get picked up later. I'm going to want to maybe go to the park. I might want to get some ice cream. I may want to go get a snack. Like, I got to think about this.
And he left his lunchbox at home or Dunkin' Donuts. So I dropped him all off and he don't have his lunch. I just looked at him. I'm like, you're just going to have to split with Margo and Chloe then. And that was like, that was so disappointing. So I had to go get him a sandwich. And then once I got him a sandwich,
that's disappointing.
It was all good.
Yeah, Q was having a bad morning.
This is a tough one. Jalen Rose. A couple things I want to discuss from Media Day. We missed the Warriors Media Day. They got theirs on Friday, right? So they got theirs on Friday. Yep. They did it early, so we didn't really discuss it. But Draymond saying there's chips on their shoulders. There's no shortage of chips. They're good ones. You know what? Is he talking about championships? Because it's hard to have a chip on your shoulder when you just won the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Is that kind of chip he's talking about?
How about the fact that they know that they legitimately have a chance to be the best team in the NBA?
And they added Wiseman. Everyone's sleeping on the fact they added Wiseman. That's like the one place that they were just kind of like a little iffy was the center spot.
Well, since you started adding things, let's go back to the NBA Finals where Moody, Kuminga, or Wiseman weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy rotation minutes that helped them win the title this year. So now these guys infuse themselves into the lineup immediately with depth, athleticism, youth, allowing the Splash Brothers and Draymond to pace themselves, unlike LeBron and AD during the regular season. Keep Steph Curry minutes around 32. Have them fresh come playoff time. Like, the Warriors, my favorite. Clearly, I ain't breaking no news here to win it all this year.
Well, you'd be foolish not to. Now,
so
Jalen,
I understand what Draymond mean.
Some very important storylines we discussed over the NBA summer, like KD trade request and Kyrie status and, you know, the Robert Sarver and Ime Udoka controversies. And one thing that kind of got overlooked was Jimmy Butler got dread extensions. You know what I mean? Jimmy Butler got full-on dreadlock extensions. That needs to be recognized. So he said that they were real. They're obviously not real. Do you think they come out before training camp?
Yes, because since they're dreads and not his real hair, he can't hoop with those. Because it's no different than me having fingernails. I promise you. Like, you become a creature of habit. And if I'm playing in a game and I shoot it off the glass and I miss, I'm going to be so mad I ain't shooting it off the glass no more. If I shoot
Jalen's
the ball and I hear
particular.
My fingernails hit the ball, yeah. If I hear
Jalen's
my
very
fingernail
particular.
Hit
hey,
the
Jalen,
ball.
Hey, Jalen, do you want to come play pickup? What type of ball are they playing with? I'm like, who cares? Who cares? What type
Correct.
Of ball are we playing with?
Correct.
What type of ball are we playing with? What type of ball are we playing with? He
hey,
had a shirt. He had a shirt one time
hey,
with sleeves.
Jalen.
We had to hold up the game. We had to hold up the game while I ripped off the sleeves in the shirt. Can't play with sleeves.
Yes. Can't play with sleeves. And I need an NBA ball. Absolutely. I'll need to maximize my game. I can't have people out here like, oh, he can't shoot. And then me saying it's because of the ball. They don't want to hear that from me.
No one wants to hear
so
that.
So if the ball is bad, then I'm all layups then. I'm all well, layups. And like KRS-One, shout to the legend. And let me tell you what's crazy about this show that I love so very much. I'm still number one is on KRS-One's By All Mean Necessary album. I was listening to that the other day. And I was listening to that and then it became KRS-One playlist. And then the original song that's on the album played. And then I realized something. When I say, we're not done, we're not done. That's on the live version remix with DJ D-Nice. My God. That ain't even on the album. So for those that want to know where that came from, it just reminded me where I got that from. I've been saying that for years. And hadn't heard that song in years.
Oh, yeah. No one knows where that's from.
I rewinded it 10 times.
No one knows about the Double X Posse either. No one knows we're not going to be able to do it's from either. Nobody does. It's from J&J to a lot of people. Jalen Rose, we'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
Shout to D-Nice. Shout to KRS-One. And it's only right that I say, we're not done. We're not done. We are not done.